We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and Miss Monica had to be gone this morning, so her beautiful mama Eva is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Larnell Hayes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Tina. How are you?
I am great.
Good.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. If we do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it uploaded to the website as soon as the program is ended. If you'd like an entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of June, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook page. Our book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure. Father, we just love you this morning, and we thank you, Father, that you are with us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing today in your world. And Lord, we just want to align our minds with you, and Father, be influenced by the wisdom of heaven. We invite you into this time frame. And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I had numbers on there for. Okay. I like your title this morning.
Good.
Identity.
Yes. So you've been a part of that, Tina. And
yes.
We've been doing this Bible study on Monday nights at 6 o'clock at 500 South Lusk. And as I've often said, you've heard me say this, it was a game changer for me, for sure, to learn my identity in Christ, to know who I am, and to see myself as heaven sees me. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people struggle with that these days, and they're influenced by intellect, by the world system, so many things that are influencing that are a negative. But through Christ, we have the opportunity to change the negatives into positives. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. I just want to say a little bit about how an artist will tell you that framing is a very important thing. It is as skilled as actually being able to paint the picture, framing it correctly. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. The way we think about something frames the way we see it, and we're going to discuss and interact with that just a little bit. A wrong frame means no breakthrough. That's a powerful statement, is it not? Now we're learning that there is no breakthrough without follow-through. Follow-through is where we build the frame that contains the picture of ourselves so that it allows us to partner with God, with God. We can hear a great message and be really stirred by it and respond to it in the moment, and you can get a breakthrough in the moment, but unless the breakthrough is follow-through in terms of changing our thinking and our perception, we will not keep the breakthrough that we've had. I get on a soapbox about that, because I see so many people in moments get a breakthrough but are unable to maintain. And they just go back to the ho-hum of the situation that they're in. And it creates a lot of frustration. Remember last week we talked a little bit about detours and how frustration causes detours. So, Tina, tell me some of the things that you've learned and in that Bible study. Let's just talk about that a little bit.
Well, I have come to a place where I know who I'm not, but I didn't quite fully grasp who I actually am. And so it's really helped me when I was reading through in the back and it was talking about the negative things that people have spoke. You can flip that to be a positive about who you are. And one of the things I was dealing with, the Lord showed me that I still had some shame. And so when I seek him, he's really faithful to show me where it's coming from. And I've always been a pretty empathetic person. And I love my mom. She went through a lot of hard things herself, and she was blinded by a lot of things. One of the biggest things for her was that she would hold on to unforgiveness. And she pointed it out like it was a negative in me, that I was always for the underdog. So the Lord showed me that that's why I was carrying that shame, because that's who I am. I've always had that part of me, but she acted like it was shameful because she didn't forgive and let things go when she thought people wronged her, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's
that was huge.
Yes, that's truly a picture of intellect versus wisdom. Because, I mean, God talks about unforgiveness a lot, and he says that if we can't forgive, we can't be forgiven. So unforgiveness is a prison. Yes. It's our own prison. It locks us in. I've been there in my own world. Forgiveness is such an important thing, and we've talked too a little bit before about that shame is the opposite of glory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, we want to live. We don't live from shame to shame. We live from glory to glory.
Right.
So, yes. Well, there's two battles. There's two fights over everything. One is the battle to take ground, and the second is to hold that ground. Mm. The one battle is to get free, and another battle is to stay free. And that takes a renewing of the mind. Would you like to read this morning Romans 12? Many people do not realize that there are two fights over issues. We win the battle to get free, but we lose the battle to stay free. The second battle is designed to establish the victory of the first one. It's not that the enemy is coming back in and somehow there's a second attack that happens. I've broken through, and now the enemy is against me. The issue really is God wants the second battle, because the second battle establishes the victory of the first one. So would you just read Romans 12 this morning?
Chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Okay, stop right there. Isn't that a treasure, what you just read? Read that last part of that verse you just read again.
The last part?
Uh-huh.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Have you heard people say many times, I don't know what the will of God is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear his voice. Mm-hmm. I don't. Well, there's a key. We can hear the voice of God, and we know what is pleasing to him by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful tool. It's a key to winning that second battle.
Go ahead. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Love in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Reframing our thoughts. We need to reframe our thinking into an alliance with the mind of Christ. The renewal of our thinking is the essence of transformation. And what you just read there in Romans 12:2, transformation comes how? By the renewing of our mind. As you were reading, I was just thinking about all the places that we are told specific ways not to think as the world thinks. Mm-hmm. One of them in there was, be good to your enemies. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a kicker, isn't it? Once your mind has been changed, it needs to go on the renewal track until that thinking takes hold of us in such a way that it becomes who we are. We cannot go back to a previous time because we cannot find the door. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, let's just go back to the good old days. We can't go back.
No.
We must go forward. We need to reframe our thinking into an alliance with the mind of Christ. We're living in a different day. Now, we serve a God that never changes. And his ways are yes and amen. And so for us to look back and hope for and wish we could go back is futile. Mm-hmm. We must go forward. Renewal of thinking upgrades our identity in Jesus, and our keeping the upgrade depends on these things. I want to talk about these. Number one is, first of all, we have to receive God's perspective of who we are in Him so that your vision about yourself changes and your vision about God changes. That's why it's so important that you understand who God really, really is. I heard a song yesterday. Daryl and I were going over to do some work on the rental property, and it was a song. I never heard it before, but it was so pertinent. It was talking about all the religious things that we do and how that they are so empty, and so it's just a list of do's and don'ts, mm-hmm. and this and that, and leaving a person empty. But the songwriter was saying, all I want to know is Jesus. I want to have a relationship with Him. I want to know who He is and how He thinks. And that's what we must do. We got to understand God. This is why wherever you hear someone spewing out words of judgment, you are listening to someone who really does not know God. God is a judge,
mm-hmm.
and he will judge the earth. But Jesus came that the world would be saved. And I'm not dissing anything that are being said in this times about, you know, what is coming up on the earth, what we are facing. But it's not our place to be judgmental and condemn. It's our place to speak the truth, but it must always be in love, not out of judgment. There's such a difference in the tone. The second thing that I want to talk about is keeping the upgrade that God wants for us. We must receive the perspective of who we are in Him, and that we adjust our thinking in line with His thoughts over us. Thirdly, we must use the same language about ourselves that He uses. I remember in one of the studies, Tino, you probably do too, we talked about how that murmuring and complaining is hell's language.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a very conducive language, is it? We must use the same language toward Him about ourselves in prayer and in worship that He uses over us in teaching and in the prophetic. It's a language of confession, declaration, and proclamation that expands our personal territory in the Holy Spirit. And you can tell, I've always said there's a difference between condemnation and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Condemnation beats you down, knocks you in the head, and gives you no way out. But conviction is by the Holy Spirit, and it will show you a way out. So our problem is that we've grown up with a world system of perception. We have grown up with their thinking, and we have grown up with their language. We may have received more input from the world, the flesh, and the devil than we have from the kingdom. So we have to get the right language going on. If you are listening to a religious teaching that is pretty much a given, even language that we have learned from religion is not comparable with how God thinks regarding us in Christ. Religion calls us a sinner, but God calls us a saint. We get a name change, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Religion focuses on the old man and trying to change our behavior. God focuses on the new man, transforming our thinking about who we are in Christ. And that's not to say that we won't ever have to deal with some things, because we will in behavior. But I love what my regional director for Aglow says. She said, don't be looking for old bones. But, you know, if one comes up, deal with it.
Right.
I like that perspective. When we connect with Jesus, we become under a mindset from a completely different realm. The mindset from religion is drawn from the world around us. The mindset from Christ is drawn from heaven, because Jesus came from heaven, and heaven's mindset to teach us how to think properly. He came saying things like, "You have heard it said, but now I say." I like that. "You've heard it said, but now you're hearing me say." And you can see, if you read the Bible very much, he was always messing with those religious leaders mm-hmm. of the day. You know, and you say, but I say. That kind of thing. Nothing's changed. He came to teach us the language of heaven here on earth. He came to teach us how to be a company of people with a heavenly mindset, doing earthly good. He came to teach us how to think, how to see, how to speak, how to stand, how to walk, and how to act in line with how heaven would. In Romans 8 and 5, it says, "Those who according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace." Romans 8:5. He came to teach us
mm-hmm.
a new way, a better way. We all have mindsets, don't we? We have to make sure they're correct. because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God, according to verse 14. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or the daughters of God, or the bride of Christ, whatever name you want to put in there. Some people get real confused about that, but they're all one and the same. The word flesh there in the Greek is sarx, and it means a human nature in all its frailties and passions. It means the natural attainment in thinking, reasoning, and logic, and rationale that prevents us from experiencing God or moving in faith. Do you see how that when we have so much influence from the world, how it affects us and how we relate to God, and how our rationale is different? And we've got a lot of that going on in our world today. That's why the wisdom of God has to be in us. It means that the circumstances of life around us are larger than the life of God within us. When we have that kind of thinking, it's our flesh. And what are we to do with the flesh?
Crucify.
Yeah. Get on the altar, flesh, die. We're to crucify the flesh. We cannot know life and peace in God if our natural man controls our lifestyle and controls our thinking. Well, ago when you were praying, I was just thinking about how we in America are so proud, you know, of our nation, and we have a lot of loyalty and to liberty and such. But there's a place that we can cross over into things that are not pleasing to God in pride. So we have to keep that in check. Even our culture teaches us things that do not measure up. But one of the things I like to say is that the kingdom of God crosses every cultural line. So it's empowering, and it helps us. Because when your mind is set on the flesh, you are vulnerable to worry, to fear, to distress, or fret, or torment. All of these things are an escalation of negativity. The flesh is vulnerable to the external world where the enemy and the opposition are prevalent. I like this statement. Stress is always an inside job.
That's true.
Yeah, it's an inside job. Those are the most dangerous kinds, the one inside, right? Stress is not caused by an external touching you. Stress is caused by your perception of what is happening. People say things like, "She really annoys me." No, she doesn't. You chose to be annoyed. Get over your bad self. You could have chosen love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, grace, and mercy. You could have chosen all those things, but you chose annoyance. You chose anger. And now you're blaming someone else for your choice. Isn't it true that people who do not take responsibility blame? So, that doesn't mean that we're perfect in it, but it's just a matter of renewing our mind to making the right choice, for choosing the right choice. What's going on? Logic and rationale are the world's way of thinking. They are not the kingdom's way of thinking. Nobody makes us angry. We get angry. We chose to be angry. The reason we choose a negative is because we have not actually worked ourselves in the place where Jesus in person or in reality on the inside of us. So we default to the circumstance. I want the defaults out of me so that I react according to God and how he would react. Here's the thing. When we think that it is normal, but it's not. It's abnormal. It is not normal for a believer to not believe. It is not normal for us to be fearful or anxious or worried. When you have Christ within you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Father's love has overwhelmed you, It is not normal to be caught up in those things. These areas are where we are going to grow into the things of God. And I can say, through the trials, we talked a little bit about this last week, how that the trials press the image of God in us. That's what happens. And I can look back on my own life and see how I would react differently to certain circumstances mm-hmm. as the fruit of the Spirit grew in me. That's really cool.
Yeah.
None of us have arrived, you know, but right. we're working on it day by day. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It means that if you're going to have a mindset on the Spirit, you have to understand where to draw the line between logic, reason, rationale, and wisdom and the mind of Christ. There is a difference. We talked about in last week, as a matter of fact, of how the cholerics are famous, that personality are famous mm-hmm. for all the logic, for all the analyzing, which I happen to be one.
You know? I'm an overthinker.
Yeah, we overthink and we try to figure all things out. But if we rely on the wisdom and the mind of Christ, what a difference is it made. You have a comment about that?
Well, when I first came into a serious relationship with the Lord, I had several situations going on, but one that was prominent, and I had asked for prayer at our women's group, and afterwards one of the ladies came and told me that the Lord wanted me to know that he sees me and he sees the situation and it's all going to work out, just not how I think it's going to work out. And he gave me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. And that has gotten me, that was 13 years ago. And it has gotten me through every situation since then, just to know that he does see me and it's going to work out, maybe not, probably not in my own understanding, because mm-hmm. his ways are higher than mine. Mm-hmm. So that's gotten me through a lot of situations and it'll probably carry me through the rest of my life.
Yes. And the word trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That is the true wisdom of God. I think about a scripture. Remember the story of when Abraham and Sarah were wanting to have a child mm-hmm. and God told them that they would, but, you know, Sarah got in a hurry, became impatient, and gave Hagar, her handmaiden, to him. And she bore a son. And then she was kicked out of the community. And she's out in the desert. And I love that passage. The name of the Lord there, where Hagar was with her son Ishmael, is Rohi, and it means the Lord who sees. And he sees us mm-hmm. in our stuff. He didn't abandon her in this place. He saw her, and he met her need. And he gave her a promise in the midst of all that. You know, that's our rationale. Sometimes we think, oh, this is over, we're doomed, this, that, you know, all the negativity. But the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Every morning they're new. They are new if we draw upon that. And what a promise that is. Mm-hmm. How powerful it is. The language from the thinking of heaven comes from the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. So we can even look through the Old Testament and you saw where Joseph had more wisdom than all the wise men, all the philosophers in Egypt. But he went through some stuff to get mm-hmm. where he was, where God was taking him. He became a prime minister because he could interpret dreams. Hey, does anybody fancy putting a president in our White House that could interpret dreams? Well, it's unheard of today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But there was a culture there that valued wisdom above intellect. Intellect is of the world. We have a culture that values intellectualism above wisdom. Anybody who moves by faith is intellectually suspect in our culture because we think that the intellectualism is the highest point of man, but Scripture says it is wisdom. There's a lot. Daniel was a man who understood the ways of God and the mind of God, and he had a way of thinking that was far superior to anything in Babylon. He was constantly promoted because he was seen as one of the wisest men in the land. Wisdom is so important.
If it's a good time, we could take a break now. Mm-hmm. I've got a few prayer requests here.